the blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Sangham Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo prajna paramita hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness, emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts: the precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts, not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so, not to take that which is not given, not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct, not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority, not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so, not to publish other people's faults, not to extol oneself and slander others, not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings, not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. O happy blessed day, O happy blessed place, O happy blessed time, O happy blessed path, O happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutiyampi tatiyampi savaha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness.
are here to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
Folks who are new to practice, you're welcome to get a back check if you want. Back about a foot, that would be great. Thank you. You can just move the bench out of the way so I can see the person sitting next to you. I don't want to let anybody get out of sight. So what would you like to look at this morning? This is about the time to bring up things that you're seeing that you'd like to talk about a little bit.
Being here.
Mm-hmm. Being here.
At the monastery. Yeah. Not in an existential way, but just
being here at the monastery.
Yeah. Tomorrow is my son's 17th birthday.
Uh-huh.
And I'm missing it.
A milestone. Yes.
And I was remembering one other time I was here on another child's birthday,
mm-hmm.
and she never let me forget it. So, you know, that can go right to a duality of good parent, bad parent, mm-hmm. you know, and all of that.
There can be a story going on about good mothers don't miss their children's birthdays ever, ever, ever for any reason.
Right.
Yes.
And then on the other side is, well, good mothers practice so that they can, you know, show their children the light and all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Practice so they can show their children the light.
Yeah. Because, you know, the Buddha let me on. So, you know, this whole story.
But there's, you're watching a duality.
Yeah.
Going back and forth, good mother, bad mother, good mother, bad mother.
Yeah.
Based on responses your children have had or you anticipate, perhaps,
yeah.
the child having to.
Well, and you know, as you say, I even asked him, you know, before I signed up for this retreat, you know, I said, it's your birthday, are you okay with that?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, maybe if it wasn't, was my 18th that would matter, you know. But anyway, uh-huh. so he was, you know. But I guess what I'm wanting to look at is this kind of, because that is a symptom of this deeper should about yes. my children.
Some standards. Mm-hmm. And in this particular situation, the content is your children. We can guess that they're, it probably arises in other ways around other content.
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah. See, I wasn't even on that big. Yeah, but you're right. That should,
It's one of those unmeetable standards that you should be able to meet.
Yeah, because I can just slide any particular role, parent or citizen or practitioner or
what you should be doing that you're not.
Right.
Yeah.
And so where I like to go with that after I recognize that is, so who's getting the brunt of this? Mm. Yeah. Who's suffering?
Mm-hmm. What do you see?
Well, what immediately came up was this kind of trier, the one who just tries.
The one who tries. Really
hard. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And really trying to do the very best.
Yeah, in every way.
In every way.
Every role, every...
Yeah.
And it kind of goes back to what we're looking at in the retreat right now, which mm-hmm. is the whole creation of the subpersonalities,
how we got in this mess.
How we get into this. Yeah.
And what do you see about that for yourself?
That the trier to be right and helpful and just the right role was born really young, and the feeding, the more I continue to feed the system, the more it perpetuates itself. The more the system gets fed with however that all happens.
Like the going back and forth and listening to the voices that are good, bad.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So as it gets fed,
it just grows and perpetuates.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is apt in terms of we feed things to get them to grow. That may not be what we consciously intend.
Yeah.
But what you're seeing is that by entertaining the duality, is that kind of it? You go ahead.
Well, because and there's the sadness. There's some sadness about and the kind of what came up actually just in the SIP. I'm just realizing it came up in the SIP. Is now was what to do with that sadness, because I can either get fixated on it or push it away.
Mm-hmm.
But it strikes me that it could also be just sort of used, kind of useful in the whole, sort of like manure is useful to help things grow. You know, it's like I guess what came up was you don't need to fixate on it, but you also don't need to push it away.
You don't need to try to do anything with it.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It just can be, it's sort of the byproduct of maturity, of growing, of seeing all of this stuff. We just get to see,
And what happens in the meantime to the little girl who was born, who was created, was born, however we want to phrase that? So when she was really little and started trying really hard when she was very small,
getting all kinds of interference right now.
Mm-hmm.
What happens to the little girl?
Yeah, and maybe it's a question that just goes up here, but sounds like she's in the picture somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And you're recognizing, you're putting things together, that the trying started really young, really trying to do her very best in every situation.
And that what's coming up now is just
She just gets to belong.
Mm-hmm. And if the kids are upset about me missing their birthday, they'll work on that.
Good content for their team.
I'll be happy to go visit their shrink with them or whatever.
Which is neat, because maybe they'll be upset, and we can't have any idea what that means in their own playing out of their karma and their coming to awareness.
And so how slippery that is, that this trier doesn't have to fix them or worry or feel bad about not about screwing them up. You know, we just get to just belong. That's the bottom line.
Belong and to model being somebody who really cares about herself enough to actually miss a 17th birthday.
That was really interesting. You know, I don't have external children, but it's just a reminder of all the internal. I mean, what came up for me as you were speaking was, you know, who do I attend to and who do I ignore?
Yes.
Whose birthday do I miss?
Hugely helpful question.
I was noticing this week, it's a particularly busy week, and it's easy, especially easy in a particularly busy week, to get focused on the busyness and not pay attention to who the little players are that are acting out in some way or being ignored in some way. And you know, it's just a really helpful reminder because we all have our children, wherever they are. And it was funny because when we were meditating, I could hear the thought, you know, the conditioned thoughts about, I'm so busy, when am I gonna do this and when am I gonna do that? And when will I have time for me? And then I was like, all right.
Yeah.
I'm sitting.
Right here.
and also that it's all time for me. You know,
yes.
It's all time for me.
Yes.
But
when we're present to
When we're present to it. And when I get caught up in that, the me that I am having time for has nothing to do with those children. You know, it has nothing to do with the essential me or the parts of me.
When you get all caught up in the busyness.
In the busyness, or when I get caught up in the story about the busyness, not the busyness so much, but particularly the story about the busyness. Then no one gets attended to.
Yeah, and I just thought it wouldn't be half so busy if it weren't about story going on telling it how busy it was.
That's right. It's like I have a little perpetual motion machine in my head.
Absolutely. Going and going.
But if I just focus on the task, really, if I just focus on the task and being there, everybody gets taken care of.
Yes.
But particularly if I just pay attention to, is there anybody who needs something? In a sense, you know, is there anybody whose birthday it is that I need to just at least address that?
Yes.
And we need to have a talk about that.
Yeah.
You know, rather than just plowing through and missing it. Entirely.
Coming back to the being, and the being who's got the body, and just being open to, anybody here needs to give a word in.
And especially,
or need to sit down for 5 minutes.
Right.
Or need to,
Especially, I think, because part of why my life tends to be a busy life is because there are a lot of little folks in here who have a lot of energy for doing stuff. And I can either then experience them having pleasure in what they're doing, or I can get caught up in the conversation about being busy and lose the pleasure for myself, wherever that is, apart from them, and them.
Yeah.
We all lose.
Yes, because there's nothing fun about that conversation about busyness, is there?
Right. But if I can just participate with all the energies that all those beings bring to it, then we're all happy, actually.
Yeah. And I would imagine feel better at the end of the day.
Indeed.
That energy builds on itself, just as the other side builds. Yeah.
Yeah.
Both of those were very helpful to me because I had just been seeing yesterday a belief, I guess I would call it a belief, that if there's something that I could do, in other words, was free to do, was able to do, then I should be doing it.
Ooh.
Yeah. I mean, and that followed, I saw that followed so naturally that I didn't even catch that maybe that didn't have to be so.
Yes, because it's interesting, where would the information come from about the thing that you could be doing?
Right. So, I mean, so it's just a couple times in the last few weeks, some things, say, come up, presented to me of, here, you could, we need somebody to do this or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, you know, often I say yes, and very rarely do I say no.
Mm-hmm.
And I just noticed a couple of times lately where I looked and said, you know, no, I don't think so. But was not able to let it go because the voice kept saying, but there's no real reason why you can't do that. You could do that. You are able to do that. You could probably find the time to do that. And therefore, why are you not doing that?
Yeah, because it follows that if you don't, you have to have a reason to say no.
Right, exactly.
And
exactly.
It needs to be good.
That's it. You have to have a reason to say no. You can't just say no.
It can't just be because this being right now, that doesn't work for her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, until you just said that about you can't just say no for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you said that, it was like, oh my God. It's true, you can't say no for
because if you can do it, you should do it.
Because if you can do it, you should be doing it. Yeah. And
I can just think of a whole list of things to submit to vacation. Change this tire.
Yeah. And you know, and as I see that, I see it on a smaller scale, how whenever there's a vacuum, there's something that arises to be done. And, you know, it's like, okay, so I finished that job. Let's see, I have 10 minutes. What's the next thing on my list? Is there anything that would fit in 10 minutes?
Which is really interesting, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, and it's the same thing. So it's like, if I have the time, if I can be doing it, I should be doing it. I mean, it never occurs to me just to like, sit down and say, what would we do now? I mean,
who's here? Who might like a little attention?
Yeah.
So that vacuum gets filled by, it sounds like, a conversation about what could be done and therefore should be done.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And as I've listened to the last couple conversations, I think that process happens not consciously, but in a way, because then I don't have to pay attention to who's here and what they need. And
It would be really interesting to schedule some vacuum. And I don't mean the kind of
right. Yeah. Yeah, it would.
And see who arises.
Yeah, it was interesting. A couple months ago or so, I sort of made some kind of little suggestions for myself to do throughout the day to have the kind of life I want to have. And as I remember it, one of them was actually something like to sit down at least 5 times a day and just check in and reconnect to being here.
Uh-huh.
And it has never happened
yet.
Got
lost somewhere along the way, didn't
it? Has never happened yet. The other things, yes, have sort of, because they were things to do.
It's really interesting because anything that could be done should be done, but that does not include sitting still.
No, it does not include sitting still. I mean, it includes meditation because that's in the schedule and that's something I do. You know, but just to sit down and sit down.
Yes.
You know, I even have when we moved up here, one of the important things that I got when we, it was so funny, we went to this home show because we knew we had this new home we had to have things for. And I think the most important thing I bought was a hammock, because I thought moving to the country, I would have this, some kind of life where I laid around in a hammock. Hasn't happened yet.
I was
going
to say, you still have a hammock.
I still have a hammock, and I put it up every summer, and I swear to God, I spend maybe in the whole summer a total of 20 minutes.
Yeah. Somebody went to that home show with a different idea. Yeah,
I think maybe it's time to schedule a hammock.
Yeah. And watch what arises, because it's going to be really interesting. Yeah. Yes.
I noticed along with this conversation comes an elaboration in my head. If I could do something, I should do something. Mm-hmm. That's a voice I hear a lot as well. And confirmation of that is what I said this morning, which is willingness is the key. It's like I'm starting to use ideas around practice as the dogma that drives me. So willingness is the key. I have the ability to show up and say yes, so I should.
Yes.
That's what I've committed to.
It is so wonderful that you're seeing that, because one of the things I think people experience all the time and will experience is conditioning using practice against us. And so I can take this look, because it's here with us. I mean, it's learning, it's going along and seeing the charts, and can't wait. And, okay, willingness is the key, and we want to keep this person really busy. We want to keep her focused on, and I don't know exactly what it's saying, but focused on something other than her heart. So willingness is the key, therefore she needs to say yes to everything we offer her. So it'll be really interesting to see. And it's great to see that. What else? Any more about that?
I never have stopped, I mean, until this awareness came up, I've just never stopped to think how much I say yes, because I think I have to. I'm supposed to.
Yeah.
That makes me a good person.
Yes. Yes. And what will happen if I say no thanks? Would be a really...
Well, I'm starting to get what will happen if I say no thanks is that, you know, practice will come in and start being used against me. You know, I'll get the voice that will say, here's more confirmation that you need to do it this way to be a good person.
Yeah. So yeah, it won't ever suggest that willingness can also apply to being willing to stay with the self, sitting quietly, not listening to the voices. It's going to put a spin on it that, as you're seeing, supports conditioning.
Right. It doesn't give me the opportunity that willingness is hand time.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So really neat to see that. And it's wily. That's, we really have to pay close attention, because it is very wily. Yes. I know the long name, so I just do my best to point.
So my birthday actually is this week, and I realize this retreat is my birthday gift to me.
Uh-huh. Happy birthday.
Yes. Thank you. And I got a gift this morning. I had a clean napkin cloth that I wanted to bring, cloth napkin I wanted to bring to breakfast. Mm-hmm. And I arrived at breakfast without it. Really forgot it. I laid it out that I need to take, and I just forgot it. And I kind of braced myself for the conditioning to lay into me and go, you don't care about the planet, and all the things that it says to me.
A whole forest just because of you.
the landfills. Instead, I got this gentle little voice that says, oh, well, you have another chance at lunchtime.
Wow.
Yeah, it was, I was shocked, I was surprised, and I'm like, what, I'm off the hook? Not to let me off the hook.
Yes. Because that little person hasn't ever been let off the hook, just to say, hey, no big deal.
And I'm just now curious, what other things in life? Oh, there's another chance.
Yeah.
No big deal. There's another chance.
Yeah. And it sounds like part of being able to have a gift was being there to receive it. So your own presence that allowed for something new, some new experience to happen for you.
Unexpected.
Kind of coming from kindness instead of meanness.
Yeah, it's very unexpected.
Mm-hmm. It's a good time. Yeah. It's a good time. Tom, did you have something?
So I had this experience this morning, which I realized is common for me. So I'm starting to slow down.
It sounds like sort of the theme today. Yeah.
But when I start to slow down, I lose track of time, because I'm used to processing time with my mind racing, and everything's a checklist. And so I'm just sitting inside this morning for meditation.
Mm-hmm.
And I distinctly remember walking up the path thinking, am I going to be late? And thinking like, no, I'm not going to, it should be fine. It should be fine. And really not worrying about it at all until I got here and realized it was too late.
Interesting, because there was some information that sounds like coming in on the side that maybe there's a time issue here.
I always get that. My mind is always saying, are you on time? Are you late? It's always like basically checking.
Wow.
So I'm trying to let go of that. And normally I would like stop, check my watch, okay, keep moving. And but anyway, so the thought I have is, my immediate thought, of course, is that I don't know what I'm doing, that I'm just wrong, and I should go back to know what I know. Maybe it's not very good, but it's what I know, and at least I have certain parameters so I can fulfill.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the bottom line is I have doubts. Is that my inner voice says this is a transitional period.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, you'll get used to timing when you're relaxed, mm-hmm. And you won't miss all the deadlines and everything.
Yeah.
And I realize it's especially difficult for me because there are repercussions of being late. People don't like it, and I will get negative criticism from people, and it's. In certain ways it's appropriate. But my thought is it's the price I have to pay to learn to slow down. And that my timing's gonna be a little bit off.
Mm-hmm.
And that if I just have patience it'll just readjust itself.
Yeah, and moving back to what sounds like a much kinder orientation to how Rob goes about in the world than what sounds like a pretty unkind, constant. What conditioning would love us to do, which I'm sure you're onto, is go back to the old familiar just because it's familiar, just because it's comfortable, and not step outside of comfort zone and risk. Somebody may get upset, and there's a person here who may feel he's treated a little bit more kindly.
Yeah. Another thought that came across me is one of my voices said, "Why don't you pay attention more?" And I realized it's a different kind of attention. the attention that I'm used to is it's like a checklist. It's like I need to scan everything and think about everything, and I should be checking it off my mind all the time.
Yeah,
it's a different kind of attention.
Yes.
So.
Yeah.
So I thought that was really interesting.
And really neat stuff to be seeing.
Yeah.
Seeing that discomfort, seeing what happens when you change the routine a little and you don't go along with what has been so familiar. And I bet you nobody's going to yell at you for being late.
Excuse me?
I bet you nobody's going to yell at you for being late.
Well, Nobody has to speak to me to hear all kinds of voices.
Exactly. Yes, good point. Nobody external. Yeah. Thanks. Okay. Yes.
One of the things I've really learned in the last 24 hours is about the childhood repetition and how I'm repeating the cycles of my really core childhood. Mm-hmm. And it's funny birthdays come up because one of the things I've really discovered is that I really look for the love and acceptance and security outside of myself, mm-hmm. because I wasn't given that by my primary caregivers. Right. And birthdays was one of the ways that I do that in adulthood. I keep really, you know, great records of everybody's birthday, and I, you know, always make sure that I have the perfect card and the perfect gift and, you know, something that I know they'll really like and, you know, all these things. And then when my birthday rolls around, I'm devastated that, you know, none of these people remember it. Mm-hmm. It's like it, you know, my process didn't work. You know, something's wrong with me, obviously.
Yeah. Can they see that I'm doing for them what I want done for me?
Yeah, it's like I just now realize that. And it seems like it's so obvious. But it's like the gong. I don't even know how else to describe that. So after we had left group, conditioning is kind of doing this thing to me, and especially when I saw that we're going to have to work with the child, it was like, we're not even going there. I'm not going to talk about it, we're not bringing it up. My childhood is really yucky, you know, it's worse than anybody else's. So when I turned to talk to the one person, I couldn't say anything out loud to everybody, so I turned to talk to the one person and I censored. I said what I thought was okay to say.
So you were getting a lot of evaluation and judging and all kinds
because
of stuff.
Because if I told him the truth.
That conditioning was doing while you were talking.
Yeah, absolutely. Because if I told him the truth, he wasn't going to provide the love, security, and acceptance either. Mm-hmm. And I discovered that I really wasn't even telling myself the truth about it. It wasn't even just that I couldn't get it out to another person, it's that I couldn't get it out to me.
Yeah.
So all of last night was just, you know, I don't know, chaos almost in my head. And luckily we were given the tools of the post-it notes because my entire hermitage is covered with that. Every window.
It's just fabulous because it's getting it out there.
It is. It's like on the outside. It's so incredible.
Yes.
So I decided, I was upset. I was, you know, thinking to myself, I'm keeping the whole entire camp up, you know, because I'm pacing and going back and forth. And it was funny because even the snake kept me in my hermitage because my normal tactic would be to run from that. To find someone or something to fix it. And if I can't, then just run. You know, go somewhere. And the snake sort of kept me in. I was like, okay, well, I think I'm out there. The snake's out there.
Gifts come here. Stranger gifts.
Yes. I have a bucket, I have water, you know, I'm outside, you know, I'm stuck. So here I am. Realized at some point I was up really late and I knew I needed to be here. The time thing kind of came in for me too. I was like, I have to go to sleep. Conditioning was telling me, just drop this. You need to drop it because you need to be up in the morning and, you know, not with this huge swollen face and, you know, all these things. And I looked at my watch and it was about, you know, a few minutes after 12. And somehow it popped into my head that today is my birthday. And then from this day forward, I can choose to do things differently, or at least have the tools to do things differently than that. Or at least the possibility of doing things different, because conditioning is coming in and going, oh, you're never going to get it right, you're going to forget all this, and, you know, all those things, but at least the possibility is there, and
and it feels like you can it. I mean, the gift that you're recognizing is being able to see all the things, a lot of the things that conditioning has been doing to you over the years that have not resulted in a happy person. And now you've got it out there where you can see it and question it and know there's something different. Know that possibility exists.
It's so like other experiences I've had where when I learned photography, I felt like that I would look at other people's pictures and go, oh, that's easy, I can do that. And when I picked up the camera and tried to replicate so much harder. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until, you know, years of practice and critiquing, you know, doing all these things that I actually was able to do it.
Perfect.
And I feel like this is so similar
years
to that.
Of practice.
Because, you know, I read every self-help book under the sun, I didn't fix it. And certainly I was aware, you know, of all these concepts, but to really know how to do it is just so much different.
Yeah, and it comes from someplace other than
up here. It does. It does seem so much more from here, exactly. So I remember Sherry on the Open Air show talking to someone about, you know, everything from this point forward is all that matters. If it happened before today, it doesn't deserve, it doesn't, it doesn't get any space. I can't spend the time there anymore. So when I go home, this day will be the birthday, and I'm going to, she talked about it on the radio show, you know, circle it on the calendar and make it glittery, and from now on, this is my own personal birthday, and I don't even have to tell anybody else about it, because it's okay if no one else celebrates it but me.
And after having done all those wonderful things for other people, you know exactly what you would like to have done for you, and you can own it.
I can pay attention to myself the same way I was paying attention to these other people and what they might like, and, you know, how they would like it to be, and I can do that for myself instead.
I just have to respond a little bit to that. When I was single, I was in a store with friends, and I admired his balls a lot.
And you?
I admired his balls.
Okay. And you were there out loud admiring it.
To my friends. And it was the store provided gift wrapping. And my friends convinced me to buy this box for myself and have it gift wrapped and put it under the tree to myself for Christmas. And this was a couple months before Christmas. So when Christmas came, I actually forgot what was there.
It says something about something, doesn't it?
You know, I couldn't be with family. I was alone that day. And it was just a real nice treat.
So recognizing for yourself that doing something like that for you.
My friends, I wouldn't have done it without my parents.
Have you done it since then?
I've been married for a while now, so I haven't had to. But, you know, I do like my husband can't take pink, so I'll say, you can put it in your gift wrap.
He's got a middleman now, sort of doing the same. Yeah.
I want to ask a quick question about, is the purpose of meditation to center?
What is your experience so far in meditation?
Physically trying to find the right place.
And the right place would be?
I mean, just, you know, where to put my legs and whatnot. And to be under posture. Mind is still going everywhere.
And you're noticing that the mind is kind of...
This morning, I was starting to waver a bit, and I got just calmness. You know, and that helped a lot.
What if that's the purpose of meditation? What if that's exactly the purpose of meditation? See what you're doing, you know. See what's happening. Basically, seeing, paying attention, being aware, practicing awareness.
And I've been going through the notes, and I'm trying to understand them, because I would like to really work on this at home. I'm not sure at this time how to go about the process of learning to disidentify.
It's probably not going to be so much learning as paying attention so you know, I just did it. You sort of catch it as you go along, you practice it.
And over the course of the rest of the retreat, you're going to be getting lots of coaching about how to take it with you, how to take this with you, how to use the tools. Yes.
As we have been listening to people talk about marking time with birthdays,
mm-hmm.
One of the things that came up for me in this meditation today, as I was laughing at myself that I had gotten to 16 and forgotten to stop at 10.
Yeah, isn't it great?
Okay, that's probably an indication that I missed 11
minutes. And you caught it. I mean, you did swimming. Yeah.
But I found myself wishing I were better at it already. I mean, I've been doing it for 3 whole days, and so.
Yeah.
And,
So how come you're so slow? The voices are, yes.
Well, not just how come I'm so slow, but how come I didn't find it sooner.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. And
there's really nowhere to go with that, is there? So? Found it now.
I'll tell you where I went with it, and that mm-hmm. is... something that Dave said yesterday. He was quoting a monk that I haven't met who was here for a while, I guess, who said, and I may be misquoting, but I think the quote was, the miracle is the one.
Yes. Yes.
And over the 30 or so years of my trying new ones,
mm-hmm.
I kept thinking that one of them would work.
Yeah.
And so there's that voice in me of like, okay, I've found another one.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's, of course, the other voice that comes along and says, yeah, and how long is it going to take for you to figure out that this one isn't going to work either?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it wants to start right in on you about how nothing has ever worked. Why should this work? You might as well give up now. Why bother? I mean, that kind of sort of trying to derail you
mm-hmm.
from taking care of yourself in the way you are taking care of yourself.
Yes, trying to derail me and also trying to get me to focus on the past.
Yes. Yeah.
So it's equal opportunity. It's poisoning the past and trying to poison the future.
Yeah.
All in the moment.
And all of that not allowing you to be right here. Although I would suggest when you got to 16, you were here because you saw it. But all of that has us looking back and forward. And not being with the guy who wants to make a difference in his life.
I'm noticing how I have made such a virtuous act of suffering.
Uh-huh. A virtuous act of suffering.
That's why I came, to suffer. And the messages were, you suffer and then you die, and then I fear suffering is optional, and it's like seeing the two opposing things, and then watching, given an assignment yesterday, and how I have distracted, suffered through it, endured, and just continue in this circuitous collapse of I'm never going to get this right. Well, I must be doing something, quote, right or wrong. But there's this evaluative glitch that's constant.
Yeah.
And it's suffering. And it's like, oh, I've got this down.
Yeah, your conditioning, as for all of us, is still just to suggest that it's your conditioning, not you.
Yes. And that's, I'm seeing how I identified with that. And I was walking today, it was like, no, it's it. It's not me. And can I just lay it down? Well, then, that. How would I be without the push, the pull, the wanting answers? What if it just is all as it is?
And what was that?
First was scary.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what do you mean? I've been all over the globe looking for the answers, following the teacher, doing whatever it is that I'm supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And here I sit with myself.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing that each of the answers has been, go within, and it's the last place I want to go. And
how do you know that? If there weren't the conversation about it, how would you know that's the last place you want to go?
The big one. Because it's the answer each time is to go within. It's like, oh, can't be that easy.
Interesting that it would be both, can it be that easy, and that's the last place I want to go.
Mm.
Yeah.
And that's the mindset then of always, maybe it's suffering, it's challenging, and it feeds me by being challenged.
Because it's, and is it, I think you were saying this in a way, because it's so familiar,
yes,
is what I've been doing.
Yes.
If I don't have this to go up against, who do I be? What do I do?
The sitting with opposites, the allowing,
being okay exactly as you are right now.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like letting it go and dropping the rock, the backpack. And
And having a feeling, having a felt sense of that as you see it. And all those nanoseconds of felt sense get to expand over time.
It's been exhausting. And to sit for a moment in time and allow just to be, there's such rest in that that it causes me to be.
Yes.
Yeah. We have to try. So.
Yes.
After the workshop yesterday, when we looked at what needs we had as children that weren't met.
Mm-hmm.
And the steps that follow from that. The needs that I saw for myself as a child were to know that my needs were just as okay as everybody else's.
Mm-hmm.
And to have an experience of a sort of a secure day where if somebody said that we were going to do something, we would do it.
You could count on something.
Yeah, count on something. So to do with safety, security.
Mm-hmm.
And after the workshop yesterday evening, it just really dropped in that the experience of being at the monastery is giving me the opportunity to meet those needs for myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I was able to see that the experience was offering me that, and also to have gratitude for myself for showing up and allowing myself to meet those needs in this place.
Yeah. that by receiving them, in a sense,
yes,
by receiving the monastery in the way you are, exactly, you are meeting the needs that you know have been there,
yes,
since forever.
Yes. And so the need to know that my needs are just as okay as everybody else,
yes,
would be the required participation. There doesn't have to be a conversation about that, about whether it's okay to speak or not to speak.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And to know that there's a slot for me,
mm-hmm,
and that I can show up and speak in it.
You can respond to it, yes, yes.
And so there's been a bit of conversation, interestingly, about which order to go in. You know, is it okay to go next when the facilitator asks, is there anybody who would like to go next?
So the next level it goes to is to come in with a conversation about, now what order should I put my, which slot should I create?
Which slot is okay for me?
Yeah, which one has my name on it?
There's one for everybody, but which?
Wanting again to limit you.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so what I've been practicing so far is noticing that when I hear you can't go next, because something that I've noticed is you can't. I'm beginning to see you are not able to, but you are not allowed. Because the voice doesn't know what I'm able to do and what I'm not able to do.
Yes, it would like you to believe you are unable to do almost anything. But you're discovering that you gather the courage, and I bet it's taking courage, and you just, at whatever point, even if it's just said, no, you have to go third this time, or whatever it's saying.
Yes, yeah. And then with the sort of, that you can count on a routine, I noticed that the scheduling hasn't been rigid, with changes, but what has happened is that we've been told about the changes, then the things happen when the facilitators have said it's going to happen.
Right, right.
And I've shown up at those times. And I've noticed that while these needs are being met, the system that tries to survive and not being met has gone through the roof, gone up to 11 before it was at, 7 or 8. It's really gone beyond.
Is it what we call backlash?
I think and what that has allowed me to see is that the scanning for evidence of something wrong is not me. That any process that's scanning for evidence to convince me of something is driven by self-hate.
Sure, habit and self-hate, and it is so, so good to see that.
Because I think that gets mixed up with awareness practice, and conditioning uses awareness practice against me, because there's part of me that loves to pay attention to processes. And sometimes I would be recording and listening at home and have something that seemed to show me something I hadn't seen before. And then conditioning might come in and say, well, I can't imagine you'll do that again. I can't imagine you'll have another evening where you go unconscious and, and then shortly afterwards, lo and behold.
Yeah, as it starts this conversation, getting you to attend to, you're never going to go unconscious again.
And sometimes with those feelings of insight, I would feel it in my body, sort of at the top of my stomach. And I've noticed this week that that's seems to be a site where lots of ego processes are happening, like fear. So it was like an excitement and an insight that conditioning would say, well, this means you're not ever going to have an evening where you go unconscious and don't take care of yourself. And after the insight yesterday about how my needs are being met and noticing the scanning and what sort of process that is, I feel like I've dropped something. And it's not an excitement here, it's just a different feeling in my whole body. Absolutely amazing. Express gratitude for that.
Yeah, and feeling it, sort of knowing you've seen it now, and perhaps it will be forgotten, but it can't be completely forgotten, and you have seen it.
And all of that is okay.
All of that is okay, absolutely. Lots of good insight.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, it's got a little bit more time. I was looking earlier in the conversation when people were talking about, I can't remember how it was said, it was the first, it was what Nikki was saying earlier, but I was thinking how that same phrase of, you need to do, essentially, I don't know how it works, what was said, but what's said in my head is, you need to do that next thing no matter what, mm-hmm. or whatever. It, when I first heard her say it, I saw how my head can do the flip. It can, I can be doing something that I really enjoy, that I've committed to, and it comes in and says, oh, but you should, it uses that same phrasing as the opposite. Like, but you could be doing whatever you want if you hadn't committed to doing this.
Uh-huh.
Do you see? So it uses both.
Yeah, it's trying to convince you that you've lost something.
Yeah, so it's just the same phrase is drives me to not sit down at home. I mean, certainly that's my, I don't sit. I never sit down. I think I remember sitting in Nikki's hammock 10 years ago when Clara was two, before I had more children. And it's a blissful memory. So if she hangs it up, I'm gone. I don't want to date with your hammock. But I also know the place of, as it's driving me to do that,
yes,
it's telling me that I don't have the life that I want. When if yeah. I just drop the whole story yes. and do the next thing,
yes.
that whole, it is like a duality. I mean,
because you start out, as you said, enjoying yourself.
Exactly.
And then it starts in with, but if you weren't doing this, you could be doing that thing you really want to do.
Exactly. When yes. I could just be enjoying washing the dishes.
Yeah.
And enjoying yes. the feel of looking at my kitchen clean.
Yes.
And then going to the next thing and folding the laundry and being really present. And really grateful for the life I have.
Yes.
And, you know, it just, when people were talking, it just, somebody said it, but it just brings me back to, it's so not about content. But how karma uses it is it throws in some really compelling piece of content,
yes.
whether
yes.
it's kids or money or whatever are each yeah. compelling piece.
And current content.
Current.
We need to do that to get the, well, no, we're past. But.
Well, it uses current content. To, at least right. how it works for me is it uses current content to torture the little people who believe a story.
Mm.
So it uses, you know, the process uses the content, but it's a really old system that I learned at a really young age.
Yes,
which
and
is
the process never changes.
Be really hypervigilant and work really hard and so that I'll get positive feedback or whatever it is. So
yeah.
I'll stay safe, whatever, you know, we each of our thing was.
Mm-hmm. And don't sit down as part of that.
And don't sit down as part of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
an
of course,
interesting place to consider putting a little challenge in.
And the thing that I like to challenge myself is to do the opposite of what it says. So it
yeah.
might say, oh, Susan, what you really need is to not go down to the monastery today. Just take a bath, you know, or
right.
sip some tea, or... You know, never, you know, always do the opposite. Because it's usually telling me to sit down when I really shouldn't be sitting down.
Mm-hmm.
So that in about 5 minutes it can kill me.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's telling me, oh, you gotta.
Creating an opening for itself.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's torture. And I, in the way it holds my body, and the way it, you know,
mm-hmm.
is always a clue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just sets in, head down. Don't put your recorder in. It's too far away. You know, it's down the hallway.
Yeah. And that's such an important point.
Don't breathe. You know, you'll do that in a minute.
So there's a highlight there for the comments about noticing what's going on in the body.
Yes.
Because each identity seems to have a different way of holding itself. And as we catch on to that, we can begin to see
yes.
more
and they're
about
usually,
who's
you
here.
Know, exactly. They're all, so, yeah, you're right. Yeah. Yeah, and often for me, it's am I the one, am I identified with the part of me that's driving the thing?
Mm-hmm.
It's usually about eight.
Or am I identified with the one that's listening, who's usually about four?
Yeah.
The different sensations, but the quality and the angst is the same.
Yes.
For me.
And the process, as you said, is
the same. It's not kind. I was going to say present, but same thing. It's not kind. It's not gentle. It's not tender.
Yeah.
It's not understanding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when I'm stuck in it, it's really, really challenging to just stop. And it's why the recording is so helpful. Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know if that has been, I know that will be talked about in the retreat towards the end. Not everybody is aware of the recording.
So it's why sitting is so helpful. It's why stopping and breathing and touching the plate I'm cleaning and looking out the window
just
and gazing
here
into my kids' eyes. Jumping jacks are good for me. We used to do the hokey pokey a lot. We don't talk about that right now, but it was a serious spiritual practice.
You cannot laugh.
Exactly. Laughing, just laughing for the heck of it.
Yeah.
You know, we do that a lot in my house.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's very, I'm grateful.
Laughing for the love of it.
Laughing for the love of it. And you know how once you start, like those, my kids will say to my youngest, she's four, that was a fake laugh. And she'll say, it wasn't a fake laugh. And I say, let's all try it. Let's fake laugh and see what it feels like. Perhaps it feels the same. Exactly. And we all start laughing and there you go, like, what's the difference, right?
Yes. It's the letting go piece of it.
It's the letting go piece of it, So anyway, that's what I was seeing. Thank you.
That's great. Thank you. That's our time. Thank you.